It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we have a number of unusual events for this time of year. One in particular that came up on our KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page on Facebook. And that is Bill over in Bemidji came up with a picture of a garter snake on top of the snow. And this is definitely not the season for garter snakes. This is this is the time of year the garter snake should be well below the frost line. Typically, they crawl into an abandoned animal den, or they can find oftentimes if you've got a blowdown and a root has been extracted and left a kind of a hollow hole in the ground, they'll go in there. Cracks in foundations, they'll crawl into those places. But basically, this time of year, they get underground and they just huddle together with other snakes and stay there. This one, the story it remains to be told, I guess. I don't know what would have brought it out, whether flooding might have done it. We had a spate of warm weather there the past couple of weeks, but it really didn't get warm enough to bring a garter snake out of the ground as near as I can figure. So if anybody listening out there has a theory they'd or a hypothesis they'd like to propose, why, we will entertain them. I'm absolutely dying to know what might have brought this poor garter snake out to its untimely death. Other observations from the KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page. Lovely picture by Dean of a pine marten over at the Sachs-Zim Bog. Sue Hutchins, Harry's wife, had a wonderful picture taken with her game cam. She had a ruffed grouse that had crashed into the house and died, and it became frozen, and she put it out in the yard, but she had the foresight to put it right in front of her game cam, and she got a great picture of the of a goshawk coming in and grabbing the grouse and flying off with it. So nothing goes to waste in nature. And the fact that a grouse that maybe died up against the house became food for a goshawk is very satisfying to me. Goshawks need all the help they can get. And it was gratifying that Sue was smart enough to get that camera and the grouse in close proximity and get a great picture. So check that out. Also, another Sue had a picture with her game cam of a raccoon visiting their feeder at night. And I think that raccoons are probably a bit more active than we realize, and especially given the warm weather that we had this past week and the week before. Raccoons are not hibernators. They're sort of sleepers, but they wake up when the weather's nice and they stir a little bit, and if they feel the need, they'll go out and find a little bit of food to kind of stake them to another couple of weeks of sleep. So the raccoons are moving a little bit. I suspect that with the cold weather that's coming in now, they'll be less likely to be seen. And speaking of sleepers and hibernators, Thursday is Groundhog's Day, also known as Candlemas Day. And in northern Minnesota, no self-respecting groundhog will be found above the ground to see or not see its shadow. And that will be just as it should be because, truth be told, here in northern Minnesota, we should be looking at skunks as our shadow casters for predicting whether or not we'll be seeing more winter or not. But the skunk is far more likely to be out, and February turns out to be a month when typically the first skunks do come out. These will be the males, and they'll wander about looking for females. Females tend to sort of hibernate or sleep together in locations, and the skunks, the males, tend to be not welcome there. But once February rolls around and the days get longer, and they just kind of get up and start feeling frisky, and they start looking for the females. And in the process, many of them will end up as roadkill, and you and I both will either see the bodies or smell the smells left behind. So the fact that Thursday is Groundhog's Day really is more appropriately Skunk Day here in northern Minnesota. What it really is, what Thursday really is in the old calendars, it was called Candlemas Day, and Candlemas Day was the day that fell exactly halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. So that's what we're approaching. And of course, that just means that the sun is gaining speed or gaining leverage. We're gathering probably a couple of minutes a day now in terms of additional sunlight. So it's going to be much lighter, much later. I was moving snow last night, and it was 5:20 when I came in, and still plenty light enough outside to continue the process if I'd needed to. More and more chickadees are starting to sing their Phoebe songs, and that's kind of a nice note. Listen for them in your neighborhood. That's a sign that spring is certainly on the way. Speaking of birds, pine grosbeaks are around the area. I don't have any at my feeder this year, as I don't have any red poles at my feeder this year either, but the pine siskins have come and are enjoying the thistle seed. And I saw a flock of pine siskins yesterday as I was coming back from Palisade. Went down to the Long Lake Conservation Center and had a very nice visit there. One of the things that I noted, actually not yesterday, but on Friday when I drove over to Cloquet, was that I hadn't seen a rough-legged hawk this year. And I just wondered, I haven't seen a lot of reports of rough-legged hawks on the Season Watch page either, but yesterday at Long Lake Conservation Center, I ended up talking to John Newman, and John is a forest technician up in the Black Duck area, and he lives down in the Akeley area, and so he's got a bit of a drive every day. But one day he took a nice picture of a rough-legged hawk that he said he had seen kind of dining on a roadkill deer there, and I suppose that's as good a source of nourishment as any for a rough-legged hawk, though they're probably more comfortable capturing voles and mice and that sort of thing. But rough-legged hawks are typically birds of open areas. So, for example, I would expect to see them down in the on the road to Aiken, on the road to Duluth. Those old glacial lake bottoms were great spots to find rough-legged hawks. They really appreciate those open areas. And so even though I haven't seen any, there does appear to be one at least that has come this far south for at least part of the winter. I saw my first courtship flight of ravens this past week, and this usually involves a pair, a mated pair, and they sort of begin to show off for one another, dive at each other's, do some swoops and whatnot. You may have heard the talkback segment earlier this morning where they some of the students up in the Virginia area talked about ravens folding in their wings and doing a barrel roll. And that's just part of what they will do to attract the attention of their mates. And not only the individuals are doing this, that the mated pairs, but there will be flocks of ravens that will also be doing this kind of showing off in the next month or so. So watch for that. And in the flocks, you have unmated adults and juveniles, and they will be doing basically the same sorts of things. One of the young ladies that I talked to down at Long Lake Conservation Center yesterday had mentioned that she had heard great horned owls calling. And they are about to begin nesting if they haven't already. And great horned owls don't build a nest. They simply take one. And nobody really argues with them. A, because this time of year, there's not a lot of demand for nests. Now, if you were a red-tailed hawk or a raven and you built a nest last year or the year before, and a great horned owl decides to move in late January, early February, there's really not much you can do. First of all, you don't have a demand for the nest at that point. And secondly, you're not going to mess with a great horned owl regardless of the situation, because they are a fierce bird and not something that would be taken on lightly. Any attempt to extricate a great horned owl from your nest would probably result in your death. So they just kind of have to pass it on and move to a new spot. Yesterday, while I was down at Long Lake Conservation Center, we looked at a lot of plants in the bog, and among them were one called tussock cottongrass, which is a clumping cottongrass, Areophryum vaginatum, and I couldn't remember the name yesterday, so if you're listening this morning down at Long Lake, there you are, Areophryum vaginatum, and the other one is Areophryum viridicarinatum. Viridicarinatum is the second one, and that's the one that we looked at the seed head on, and its common name is dark scale cottongrass. And if you go out in the bogs today and you look around, you'll see these seed heads that are standing up, and if you look carefully, what you'll see are four or five dark-scaled little seeds. They're about, maybe a centimeter long, and about, possibly 2 to maybe 2.5, 3 millimeters wide, and dark scales abound on them. So that one was out there as well. We also got a good look at a pitcher plant. Some of the naturalists down there knew where the pitcher plant was, and we scraped away a little of the snow and took a look at the leaves, and they are bright red, as we would expect. The leaves will persist throughout the winter, and in the spring, a new leaf will be formed, and the plant grows a new leaf every year. And that new leaf is going to be the spot where the mosquitoes are going to come and lay their eggs, because they want, it takes a year for that mosquito to develop, and they want that leaf to be in prime condition and capable of lasting a year without springing a leak. So the mosquitoes with the greatest success learn to lay their eggs in the brand newly emerging leaves of spring. But that's still a ways off. Not going to happen anytime soon. I've been watching the pileated woodpeckers around my place, and as I walked through the woods the other day, I noticed that they were starting to chop holes in the base of spruce trees and balsam trees, and this is the time of year when they sort of excavate those spots, and I can't imagine the ants being active this time of year, even though the temperature was probably warm enough. And think about this, too. You know, down at the base of the tree, you've got snow protecting the trunk of the tree. And so the temperatures stay fairly warm there, which may encourage ants to get active. But it's also possible that there are ant eggs in those places. And the pileated woodpeckers maybe are chopping in to get those eggs this time of year, but certainly it's a springtime activity for pileated woodpeckers to chop these holes right down at ground level. So watch for that as you're out wandering around. What you'll see are a lot of fresh bark chips laying on top of the snow. I happened to be looking out my window yesterday morning, and I saw a grouse, and I hollered at my wife, "Hey, look, there's a rough grouse out there by the edge of the wetlands." And then there were two, and then there were three, and they kind of marched along in a group sort of along the edge of the wetlands there. And as they were marching along, one of them paused, sort of looked up and stretched up, and then leaped off the ground, probably 4 or 5, maybe 6 inches, just a little flap of the wing, and up it went and grabbed a seed or two off of this plant, and then repeated that process 2 or 3 times. And if I hadn't been in such a hurry to get on my way to Long Lake, I would have probably gone down to see just what it was they were eating, but, or would, what this one was eating. There was only one that actually attempted that, but the three of them kind of wandered then off further into the woods, which was pretty exciting. I like having grouse around. Came across four white-tailed deer this past week while I was driving up toward my job in the bog, and they were perfectly happy to stay on the road. They didn't want to get off the road at all. But finally, as I approached them, they turned and bolted into the woods. And as they bolted into the woods, I noticed that they were not sinking in, that snow crust out there, which is, by the way, supports my weight, and it was supporting their weight as well. They weren't breaking through. So the crust is bad news for owls, but good news for deer. They're able to run on top of that and not break through, so it's a pretty good deal for them. A few pine grosbeaks this past week. I still don't have any at my house. I'd love to have them come in, but they aren't coming, so there you are. I just have to find them where they will be. And lately they've been down on the roads picking up some of the gravel that the county throws to help with the ice. Final note this week, in the bogs and on the highlands, the ground, the snow is littered with bracts chewed off of the pine cones that they have hidden away during the spring, summer, and fall. They cut the cones green off of the Norway pines. They stash them in the ground, and then they go to those stashes, they dig them up, and they chew the bracts off and eat the seeds, and they have been doing that, and you can see the evidence of that all over the area. So get out, keep your eyes open, see what's going on around you, and let us know what it is, because we want to hear too. That's our Phenology show for this week. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.